mentioned this to the group on Wednesday evening. We've got a new person we've added to our prayer list, and this is a challenge for us, this congregation. Some of you probably are aware of a fellow by the name of Bill Maher. Bill Maher is a quote-unquote comedian. I don't think he's very funny. Bill Maher is an atheist, an avowed atheist. And some of the things that he has said most recently, some things that are just very disturbing against God and so forth. My initial response to when I, you know, read the things about what he had said was I just got really angry. I called my cable company and I canceled my subscription to HBO because that's the programming that he is on. But then as I was talking with some of the other brethren, we were discussing that whole thing, and I thought, you know what? Bill Maher is an enemy of the Lord, and what does the Bible teach us to do about our enemies? Pray for them. And so the challenge for us to do is that we're going to pray. We put Bill Maher on our prayer list here at the church. And I'm challenging all of you to pray for Bill Maher, that God will do something to get his attention and turn him over to the Lord himself. Can you imagine what an awesome, awesome power he would be for the Lord, you see, if he were to turn around and become a Christian, you see? And so I'm challenging you to pray for Bill Maher. Just like God did with Saul of Tarsus, he can take a Bill Maher and turn him around and make him a force for him. And so that's a challenge for all of us, to add him to your prayer list. We have, as Rick talked about before his scripture reading, we have some folks who have done the daily Bible reading throughout the whole year of 2011. And so we want to recognize them. And we have a gift for each of them that you can see me afterwards, and we'll get that. And I just realized that I think it's the thing that you guys are already planning to use. But we'll get you something different. But these folks have read through the Bible entirely at least once. Nancy, how many times did you do it this year? She forgot. Okay, she lost count of how many times. But Lynette read through the Bible a year. Nancy Lewis, Judy Foster, Charlotte Robinson, Cindy, and also Rick. Each of them have read through the Bible through this entire year at least. Yes, Charlotte. Lakenda did. You didn't fill out your thing. See, I don't. If you don't fill it out, I don't know who read. So Lakenda also. Okay. So thank you guys for doing that. And I know because I've been talking to Rick about it all along. And, you know, Rick's been all through the year talking about some just neat and amazing things that he's been discovering as he's been reading through the Bible throughout the year. The book is back there on the little stand in the back there. If you would like to start this year off reading through the Bible, there's sheets in there for you to write your name on it, put it in the notebook where it fits alphabetically, and each time you come in, check it off what you have read. And of course, there's extra sheets for you to take one with you, so you'll always have one, so you know what you need to be reading. So, but we applaud those of you who have done that and encourage, you know, as many others to do that also, to read through God's Word. I am really excited about this new year for a lot of different reasons. We've got some really exciting things that are getting ready to happen. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about all of those things in a few moments. But, you know, all in all, this year really looks to be a great year. And Happy New Year, by the way. Isn't it great to, as a couple of people have mentioned, you know, we start the very first day of the year on the first day of the week. What a great way to start out, you see? Something kind of special for me is that actually I am beginning today my 30th year in ministry. I'm a little bit disappointed, though, that I'm not going to be able to finish the whole 30 years. And that's because, according to the Mayan calendar, the world is going to end on the 21st of December. So I won't be able to get quite 30 years in, okay? Of course, you know, that's what the doomsday sayers are all about and so forth. But we all know better that the Lord's going to come back when He's good and ready. And no one knows the day or the hour. So we're going to take whatever time the Lord gives to us, and the idea for us is to make the best of every bit of it that we can. Okay? That's what I'm going to try to do. How about you? Okay, all right. Well, here's what we're going to do this morning. I have some things I'm going to share with you about, you know, what's going on around here. What do we have to be excited about, you say? And I'm really excited about the things that we have going on for this new year. Our focus and our emphasis that we're going to be doing really is two major things. The first one is evangelism, reaching out to those who are lost. And we've been focusing on that a lot over the last couple of months in our Sunday morning Bible class, and we're going to really take that on head on and really focus on reaching out and sharing the gospel with as many people as we possibly can. Now, the other thing that we're going to be doing along with that, and I think that the two of them go hand in hand, and I'm really excited about this, is that our Sunday morning lessons, at least for the next, I don't know how long, but it's going to be for quite a while, we're going to be focusing on getting to know God through our experiences. Or in other words, experiencing God. Okay? And so what that really means is that basically we want to be able to share the gospel with other people, right? Well, what better way is there for us to share the gospel with other people than to share our experiences with God? You see? And there's a word that goes along with that that we typically don't use very much in the Church of Christ. You see, that's because so many of those denominational churches use it. It's called witnessing. You see? All right? Well, we need to learn how to do witnessing a whole lot better, because that's what God wants us to be doing. And so by experiencing God, looking around, here's the quote. Here's the idea behind this. What we're going to do is learn how to look around us and see what God is already doing, and we're going to join Him in His work. You see? That's what we're going to be focusing on. So in doing that, we're going to be reaching out, because that's God's work. Reaching out into the world around us and sharing the gospel with those who are lost. You turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 28. At the place that we begin all of this, in the text that was read for us this morning as we started, Matthew chapter 28, and I want you to go back to verse 16, okay? Go back to verse 16 for just a moment, and we're going to go through verse 20, where the text tells us that the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, here's some things that I want you to think about, you know, as we focus on this idea of going into all the world. Okay? Notice that, first of all, Jesus is telling His disciples, and by the way, that's, you know, you and I are disciples today, right? Okay, so this applies to us. So He says, the first thing He says is do what? The first thing He says is do what? Let's try this again. The first thing He says is go. Okay, go. That means we need to get off of our rear ends and we need to be going. You see, we need to be doing something. You see, having a relationship with God isn't about just coming to church and sitting in a pew and listening to, you know, lessons either great or mediocre or whatever you think of them. You see, it's about going into all the world. You say. And so God has told us to go, and then he says, I want you to make disciples. See? That's what the work is all about, going and making disciples. Okay? And when you're making these disciples, there's two things that I want you to focus on with them at least. These are two basic bottom line things. Number one, I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See? And then secondly, I want you to teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. You see, those are the instructions that come along with the command to go, aren't they? You see? Go into all the world and make disciples. Okay? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Okay? So God has given us, in a sense, our marching orders, hasn't it? You see? To go into all the world and make disciples. Now, I want to call your attention back to verses 16 and 17. There's something a little interesting there that as I read this, see, you know, okay, 29 years of ministry. I preached on this I don't know how many times. I've lost count, like Nancy did, you see. But I always have focused on, you know, verses 19 and 20. Go back and look at what he says here, verses 16 and 17. Something just kind of jumped out at me as I read that again and again. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. So we've got the 11 there, you know, 12 minus Judas. The 11 are there. And then it says, when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Ooh. Okay. I just really haven't ever really paid that much attention to that particular statement. They worshiped him, but some doubted. The reason I bring that out is because I believe that both of those two statements apply to us today, like it did back then. See, we are his disciples. And even as we gather today, we gather to worship him. But there are some, even amongst this crowd of folks, who have doubts. Just like they did back then. What kind of doubts do you suppose they had? Well, just think about perhaps sometimes the doubts that you have had. From time to time, those lies that we've talked about before that Satan throws at us and questions, calls us to question sometimes our faith. Does God really love me? Does he really care? Okay. Can I really overcome this obstacle? Will God really lead me safely to the other side of this Red Sea event in my life? And all of those kinds of questions that sometimes cause us to doubt. Okay. And I say that not as a condemnation on any of us, but rather as a realization. Okay, that just like the disciples then, they were with Jesus, spent 3.5 years with him. And yet at this moment, it tells us that though they worshiped him, some of them had doubts. Some of them had doubts. But we need to recognize that about ourselves, that from time to time, we're going to struggle with doubt. We need to stand before the Lord and continue to ask him as we wear his armor, we've talked about so many times, to protect us and help us to overcome the doubts that we have from time to time. Okay? Now, in this whole effort, you see, of focusing on sharing the gospel with those who are lost, that is God's work for us to be doing, for us to be involved in. You see? Well, we have to have a place to start. Okay? And so, you know, my view, my vision of this is that we do it kind of like Jesus commissioned the apostles, the disciples, to do just before he returned to heaven. Turn over in your Bible to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In verse 8, there Jesus, speaking to his disciples, again, just before he returns to heaven, he says to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Okay? And then he kind of lays out this path, so to speak, of how this is all going to take place. And by the way, there's that word that we so often tend to shy away from, witnesses, right? So you see, if we understand it, that Jesus has told us to be witnesses, okay, then we should be able to get over our concept or our problem of witnessing to people, because that's what he told us to do, right? You see? So we need to be witnessing. Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." And then he says, "In Jerusalem." Okay, in Judea and Samaria and in to the ends of the earth. So you see, herein is a pattern, so to speak, that it all began there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter got up before the crowd and he began to speak to them. And he shared with them history of the Israelite people and how God had worked in their lives to bring them to that moment where they stood before Peter, guilty of crucifying the Messiah, the very one that they had been waiting for. Now, this is in Jerusalem, and it is amongst the Jewish people. That's where it began. Right. And then from there, as we've been talking about in our Sunday morning Bible study, you understand I keep plugging that because I'm trying to encourage more of you to come for our Sunday morning Bible study, you see, because that's what we're talking about. Right. It branched out from Jerusalem and out into Jerusalem, into Judea, and even to Samaria when the disciples were scattered from the persecution that broke out against the church. And even went to the area of Samaria and eventually to all the ends of the earth. Well, what we're wanting to do is to focus on beginning at Jerusalem. Okay? And that's what Sunday night for the Master is all about, by the way. Okay? And so what that means is again, as those who are in the Sunday morning Bible class have found out, that each and every one of us has our own Jerusalem. That is, the people in our lives. It's our family members, it's our friends, it's our coworkers, it's the people that we know in our lives who are still lost. That is our Jerusalem. That's my Jerusalem, it's your Jerusalem. Those people. And that's where we want to begin, is sharing the gospel with those people. Sunday night for the Master is designed to help us to begin making that happen. And I'm going to share with you a little bit more about that in just a moment. But you see, Jesus gave this pattern of beginning in Jerusalem and then going to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so if we begin in our Jerusalem and we start reaching out to those in our Jerusalem, and then we can go from there out to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's what we want to try to do. By the way, if you go over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we see there that Peter tells us that when we are baptized into Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's the same Holy Spirit that the disciples received on the day of Pentecost. There's only one Spirit. Okay. So when we obey the gospel, we receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, that God's Spirit is living and dwelling within us so that we can accomplish His purposes in our lives. Now, let me tell you about what our plan of attack is, okay? This is how we're going to try to make this happen. Now, as I begin to talk about this part, you're going to see some activity. These folks are not being rude. They're getting up and getting ready to show you a part of what this plan of attack is. So pay no attention to those people that are moving around and so forth, okay? We're going to let them do that while I'm sharing some of these ideas with you, okay? You know, one of the things that's a part of this plan of attack, so to speak, and helping us to be more evangelistic and reach out and to seek and save the lost, already mentioned a few moments ago, that is our daily Bible reading program. You say, and I want to encourage you to get involved in that and read the Bible every day. The more you read the Bible, right, Rick? Okay, the more you read the Bible, the more you find out about God's will for your life. You see? And how God wants to use you for His purposes. So I need to get out of the way. Are you guys going to knock me over or what? Okay. All right. Okay, now, what they are setting up for you here is another part of this plan of attack. I'm going to get out of the way in just a second, and they are going to give a little puppet show here for you to demonstrate our new teen puppet ministry. Okay? Now, this part of what we're trying to do, this part of our plan of attack, are you guys ready? Just let me know when you're ready, and I'm going to sit down and shut up and let them listen to you guys, okay? This part of our plan of attack is that our teens are working on this puppet ministry. Isn't this really cool? Can y'all see this? Et cetera. Okay? It's Edge Hill Teens for Christ. Our puppet ministry that is going to start with our teens taking this ministry. We're trying to work out at least a once a month thing where they go to the nursing homes around the area, and they put on these puppet shows for the folks, the residents in the nursing home. We're trying to get the KFC kids kind of involved in this and some singing and those kind of things also. But that's what this particular part of the ministry is in helping us in this plan of attack of beginning in Jerusalem and sharing the gospel with others. Okay, they're ready, so I'm going to sit down and set up for a moment. What a great way. Here's our puppet people. All right. So you see, that's one thing, one new ministry that we have started. It's an encouragement to our kids, and hopefully will be something that will uplift the seniors at the nursing homes. And it's a great opportunity to go out and to share God's Word with other people. And so, if you are not involved in any particular ministry, or you sit around going, I don't have nothing to do in the church, here's an opportunity for you to get involved, you see, in that particular ministry. And isn't that puppet stage pretty cool too? You know, Jerry's folks over there at Robert's Awning, this is a commercial, I don't know if y'all realize that. Jerry's folks over at Robert's Awning and Signs put that together for us and did a great job, and we're very grateful for that. Okay, so we have the ETC, or et cetera, Edge Hill Teens for Christ, kind of goes along with KFC. I know some of you still think that's Kentucky Fried Chicken, but it's not. It's Kids for Christ, okay? Now, you know, I mentioned to you, Moni, you've been hearing me talk about this over and over again, Sunday night for the Master, okay, starts tonight. Now, let me tell you what our plan is, okay? We meet in the fellowship hall, not in here. We're going to meet in the fellowship hall. We gather around the tables. We're going to talk about the folks that you have in your Jerusalem that need to be reached for the Lord, okay? You're going to have opportunity to share with the folks at your table about them. You're going to pray about those folks and write a note to those folks. That's what that's all about. We're going to be doing that. Our initial plan is we'll start it tonight. We may go over again to next week. We won't know until after tonight, see how, you know, how much time we have with all that and how far we get with it. But our plan eventually is that we will be doing Sunday night for the Master on the first Sunday of each month. The second Sunday of each month is going to be basically the format we've been using on Sunday nights for quite a while now, where we do a discussion based on the Sunday morning lesson. That will be the second Sunday night of each month. The third Sunday night, something new that we're going to try out. This is also an evangelistic opportunity. We're going to basically try and do an open forum format. We will have at least two of the elders up front of the group, and you can come and just any questions you have that you want to ask and discuss, you come and bring them, and you let us know, and we'll talk about those particular topics. No particular Bible study or anything like that. It's just going to be open forum to talk about questions, answer questions that you have. Now, the reason this is such a great evangelistic opportunity is because those folks that are in your Jerusalem that you're trying to reach, here's a great opportunity for you to tell them, hey, you know, this Sunday night coming up, our church is having just an open forum situation. You can come and ask them any questions you want to. And some of those questions you have about the Bible or about churches or about religion or whatever it might be, it's a great opportunity to come and talk about those things. So that's what we'll be doing on the third Sunday of each month. And then the fourth Sunday of each month will be our normal fourth Sunday singing that we've been doing, trying to learn more songs and so forth that can enhance our worship time that we do together and so forth. So that's what our plan is for that particular part. Now, the last part of all this is, we've been talking about this some and trying to encourage, you know, this particular thought, and we have a goal here that what we want to do is to have some home Bible studies going on. What that entails is that we need people, that is you, okay? We need you to open your home to host a home Bible study. This can be, you can invite the people that are in your Jerusalem, you see, to come to your home and just have a Bible study at your house. One of the elders will be glad to come and conduct that Bible study for you and with you. If you would like us to do that, if you feel confident you can do that on your own, then great, go ahead. But we're available to do those Bible studies. But what we need is host homes. We need people willing to open their home and invite their friends, their family, the people in their Jerusalem to come to their house and have a Bible study. And so I want you to think about that and ask you some of you to plan to do that. We'd like to have several of those going on throughout the week as soon as we can get those going. So think about that. That's something that you can do. You don't have to lead the Bible study. All you need to do is open your home. You don't have to provide all kinds of stuff for people. Just open your home, you see, and invite your friends, your neighbors, your family, whoever it is that's in your Jerusalem, invite them to come for the Bible study, you see, and we will take it from there. So there's a lot of opportunities for us to join God in His work of reaching the lost. That's what we're trying to focus on, okay? So the challenge that I leave to you this morning is, what part are you doing, okay, in order to help make these things happen? Okay? I'm excited about the possibilities for this year. I'm paying no attention to December the 21st, and I encourage you to do likewise, okay? We've got a lot of work to do. There are plenty of opportunities, and God is already working. We just need to join Him in what He's already doing so that we can save souls for Him. Amen? Okay, now, as we finish up here, because I can see some of you are kind of starting to lean towards the fellowship hall over there. As we finish up here, we just want to have the opportunity for anyone and everyone, if there's something going on in your life, and we've talked so much about, you know, the Red Sea events that we all struggle with from time to time, that maybe there's something going on in your life that you need some guidance, some prayer, some encouragement, some help in that Red Sea event that you've got happening in your life, or whatever else is on your heart and mind, that you have the opportunity to share that and to get the help that you need with it. But also, for those who are here this morning that don't belong to the Lord yet, okay, you have the opportunity to become a Christian right now, today. If you're ready to make that commitment in your life, to call upon Jesus as your Lord and your Master, and to repent of the sins that are separating you from God, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, you can do that right now. We've got water that's ready behind me, and you can do that. You can become a Christian today, right now, without having to wait. If that's what you're ready to do, all you have to do is come up and let me know. I'll be up here in the front to receive you. Ted will be in the back. If you'd rather go back to talk to him privately and have private prayer with him, he'll be back there to receive you. And I'll be up here in the front. Tom, come up and lead us in a song. Let's stand together, please.